listening to Travel Writers Radio with Graham Kemlow and Adeline Ung. Hope you're enjoying our program today. Tonight, we welcome back our regular expert on the luxury travel sector, one of Australia's top travel agents, Yvonne Verstandig of Executive Edge Travel. Tonight, we cover experiential and luxury adventure holidays. And Yvonne has just returned from Africa, where she enjoyed what she calls off the beaten path Africa. With so many people putting Africa high up on their bucket list, I'm sure you'll find the segment inspirational and informative. Yvonne spoke with Graham Kemlow earlier this afternoon.
Well, it's great to welcome back to Travel Writers Radio Yvonne Verstandig, who's the, from Executive Edge, the specialist travel agency that will take you on a luxurious trip. Now, Yvonne, there seems to be a trend towards experiential travel, particularly with an adventure focus. Would you agree?
Definitely experiential travel is the key these days. You know, people are taking, you know, away the thought of just a flop and drop. You know, obviously we still book a beach holiday, but people want more than just the beach basic trip. They want to actually be wowed and be immersed in culture, have experiences that, you know, tick the boxes of all, you know, memories for years later.
So beyond the T-shirt and the postcard, the experience is what lingers in the memory. And at your end of the market, you're the luxury end of the market, what's a good example of a trip that ticks all these boxes in the current thinking of travellers?
Yeah, I would say the two key destinations that we would, if people come to us and say they really want to have experiences and go beyond the, you know, get off the beaten path, would be Africa is a huge one, and South America would be another destination. The two continents are key for off the beaten path experiences.
Okay. So, I mean, when you think of Africa, people probably think of South Africa and the game reserves like Kruger that are close by there. But are there other exclusive experiences available, and are they just as accessible as, I suppose, what I'd call the easy ones?
Yeah, look, Kruger's definitely one of the most popular because of the ease, because of the access into Joburg Airport and beyond. It's very easy.
Yeah.
It is, but Africa's so much more than that. You know, the continent expands hugely, but obviously never as accessible, which is why Kruger, not only accessibility, but also because it's great for game and, you know, access all year round. But there's so much more to that. The Botswana, Zambia, Zim, Kenya, the Eastern African countries are fantastic. And that was a recent trip of mine, was to East Africa this time.
Okay. I'm not to put the Kruger and those similar parks down, but my experience was that it was almost like a big zoo. They had a limited number of animals, so the lion didn't get too bashed up because he was the king of his own little domain, and there were fences to sort of contain animals within a certain area that could be driven or walked around, I suppose. I guess you're talking about a different scale. You talk about mass migrations and things like that, aren't you?
Definitely. Well, that's in East Africa. But also, just to remind you, or I'm not sure if you're aware, but the difference between a national park and a private conservancy is also a key factor when, you know, working out trips to Africa, because the national park is more what you feel the zoo like, where you have time restrictions that you can enter the park.
Yep.
You could have vehicles, you know, 20 vehicles at a sighting, even though it's not meant to, but it can happen. Whereas if you are in one of the private conservancies, you've got more exclusivity and you don't have that same, you know, big game viewing, too many tourists there.
I do understand. And to see suddenly 20 Jeeps roll up because they're all on the walkie-talkie to each other, because they found a kill, which is what they drive around looking for, basically, because they figure that's what we want. It wasn't what I wanted, actually, but I can understand what you talk about. So perhaps, what are the most exclusive experiences? If money was no object, where would you send somebody who's just won tats?
Well, I can tell you because that's what I did. So it was my big birthday and we went with our family. And
21,
family.
Again.
Yes, again.
Oh, I'm
so
impressed.
It's that one. But we chose to go to, we wanted to do gorilla trekking. So that's a huge factor.
Ah, right.
That itself is to the national park permit. To just enter that national park for gorilla trekking was actually $750 US per person just to visit
wow.
one day.
Okay.
It's now in Rwanda gone up to $1,500 per person. So
wow.
already that shows exclusivity on its own. They only allow 8 people per gorilla family
yep.
viewing at one time. So it's really quite an amazing experience, and that was one of the highlights of our trip, of our month away.
So is the cost there just to try and keep the numbers down?
Yes, yes.
I reckon and Teddy Roosevelt would have paid less than that and been given a gun and a bullet.
Yeah, it's
wouldn't
changed.
He?
So that's, yeah, it's an amazing experience.
I saw the photos of, I saw an animal peering through the leafy foliage at you.
Yes.
That was an amazing photo.
Seriously, maybe arm's distance, and
wow.
did not feel threatened at all. And we had an hour of sitting amongst these. Our family was 18 gorillas. And
how many humans?
There. We were right there with them.
How many of you were there?
8. They don't allow more than 8 with the trekkers.
I don't like the odds, Yvonne.
Trekkers.
I don't like the odds.
Totally, never felt...
Never felt threatened?
At all. No,
that's fantastic.
Never threatened.
Were you allowed to touch them or were they come up to you?
No, they did come. The closest that one got was to one of the guys with a camera, and it was a juvenile gorilla
yep.
and was tapping on the camera lens. So
oh.
that was pretty amazing.
Wow.
My daughter did get hugged by a gorilla.
Really?
Yep. It, again, a most surreal experience, but she wanted to, and it was almost like he had known what she... Yeah, it was really amazing. But look, that was just one part of the trip. You know, you go beyond that. You know, in Uganda, we were staying at the edge of a crater lake, swimming and stand-up paddleboarding in a lake.
Was that the helicopter shot?
No. The helicopter was a different lake, and that was... The helicopter was up in northern Kenya, and we were in a helicopter. You ask about exclusive activities. That is definitely, it's $1,000 US an hour. You know, and if you do the full day, which we had done, you know, 6 or 7 hours on the helicopter.
Yep.
But what we saw was the most, I think my face did not, my smile on my face lasted the whole day.
Well, you have an amazing smile anyway, so you would have had an ache in the jaw by the end of the day.
I did.
Yeah.
Halfway through. And it was just, you know, going over craters, through lava flows, old lava flows, chasing crocodiles through estuaries, landing on sand dunes, jumping off the sand dunes, you know, landing on salt lakes, over flamingos. It was the most amazing experience.
You've got some wonderful photographs, which are, I guess, your keepsakes from the trip.
Yes.
But you've obviously also got the mental movie in your mind of all the things you've done. And what about your children are teenage and more, aren't they?
Yeah, they're 20, 22 and 24.
Yeah. So what was their reaction to it? How did they feel about it? Was it sort
their
of suddenly mum and dad were cool or what?
Well, we're always cool. Come on. They said it was definitely their best trip. And
right.
they've done some serious
I bet they have in your
trips.
Company.
Yes.
I bet they have.
Yes.
Well, obviously that's an expensive exercise to go and see the gorillas, et cetera.
Yes.
But if you've only got one chance in a lifetime to do it, you'd do it, wouldn't you?
I would.
Mm.
I would. And, you know, we were with another family of 5 who also travel a lot. Every day was another highlight. So we did, you know, the balloon ride over the Mara. We saw a kill, you know, a lone lioness walking through a ravine in search of the wildebeest. And we saw, you know, to experience that was our very last day in Africa. So, you know, you talk about experiential travel, that's what it's all about, the, you know, emotions that we got from every single day on our trip.
Mm.
that's what creates the memory, and that's what people want.
Just quickly, in the short time we've got left, how far out do you need to book?
You have to look end of the year, peak season being December, January, and it depends on where in Africa.
Right.
So end of the year, Cape Town is buzzing, is huge. We're already having difficulties, and I've tried for, a couple of bookings a month ago already. The sooner the better. We were talking about the migration. That's usually, we can never depict exact dates, but usually, July through to September in Kenya and Tanzania. Now, that you need a book end of the year before. So really, to get what you want and
6 to 12 months out.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Definitely. All right, Yvonne, we've run out of time. It just flies when I'm chatting to you. It's a wonderful experience to hear about how the other half travels. But if people want more information, executiveedge.com.au. Is that right?
Right.
Beautiful. Yep. Yvonne Vestantic, thanks again for being on Travel Writers Radio.
Pleasure. Thanks, Graham.
Bye.
Bye.
Yvonne Vestandig of Executive Edge Travel here in Melbourne. And for more information, you can go to www.executiveedge.com.au or email leisure@executiveedge.com.au.